I think when you're about to stand up here and preach a word that God's given you, you kind of hope that all the words that God's already brought this morning tie in really well with what you've got. And they don't. I feel like this is going to be a completely other direction, but who knows what God can do with it. I feel it's the word God has given me, and that this is the right time to bring it. So I just want to do a good job. It's been on my heart for a long time, and I want to do it justice. And I want it to encourage us and build us up. And we're going to talk about who we are and why we're here, and I want it to send us out of here changed, really. One thing I did think in the worship time, that when all those words were coming, that the chorus we sang was, I love the King and the King loves me. And it was like a declaration to, not just to God, it was like to the powers of darkness that, hey, hang on a minute, I love the King. The King loves me. He loves me. And nothing can separate me from that love. The darkness may come. It will come. God has said that we will have trouble in this world. But nothing can separate us from his love. It says not hardship, not famine, not nakedness, not sword. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I feel I want to encourage you with that first of all, that God loves you. You love the King. He loves you. Amen. So I want to ask you two questions. Why? Who are you? And why are you here? Let me just tell you for fun, Richard, who I am. I'm female. And I was born in London, which makes me English. And my parents were Michael and Patricia. Next one. And I am the second of four children. The next one. I'm a daughter and a sister and an auntie and a cousin and a wife. The next one. And the next one. And a mum to these two lovelies. And now a nana to this lovely. So that kind of tells you who I am. Maybe I could show you my passport. It wouldn't really tell you much, but it would just identify me. But I want to talk about who I am, my identity, that none of these things that I've told you already are actually my true identity in God. This cannot tell you my true identity in God. If this were my CV, it's not, it's my notes in case the iPad crashes. But if this were my CV, it would tell you everything I've ever done, even my education, everything, from about the age of 16. It would tell you every job I've done, but it could never tell you my purpose for being here. It could never say, this is why Marilyn's here. This could never say, this is who she is. And this could never say, this is why she's here. So who am I? And why am I here? I'm asking you the same question. You'd answer me in much the same way. You'd tell me you were a daughter, a son. You'd tell me who your parents were, where you were born, how old you are. You'd tell me what you do for a living. You'd tell me you're a doctor, a teacher, a preacher, whatever. But it wouldn't actually tell me who you are in God. And I think that if we want to know the truth, and we have a question like this, we need to look at God's word. So I want to look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says, this is who you are. But you, if you're a Christian, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I believe this scripture answers both these questions. Who are you and why are you here? Let me read it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I believe this verse tells us the truth about who we are and why we're here. I want to look at the first half of it, but particularly the word chosen. You are a chosen people. Let me read you Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us, he chose you, in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Wow. Before God made anything, he chose you. Before it says in Genesis, I think mine starts in the beginning. It's not the beginning. The beginning was before that. God chose you before the beginning of the world. Before he made anything, he chose you. He knew that you would belong to him. He knew that he was going to make you his. He said where you were going to live and where you were going to be born. And whatever circumstances of your birth, you might be sitting here. There may be people sitting here thinking, oh, it's just an accident. My mum and dad didn't mean to have me. No, you're not an accident. You're not here by chance. God chose you. He said where you were going to live. He said where you were going to be born. Acts says, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God says you are not a mistake. You are not here by accident. I have chosen you. You could take Ephesians. Let me encourage you to do it later. Take Ephesians and write, 3-5, and put it here. Put it here just before Genesis and encourage yourself that this is what God says about you. He chose you. Notice it says the word adopted. It says you have been brought into his family. If you've not heard this for a while or you haven't heard it before, I want you to start sitting up a bit straighter. I want you to start feeling like, oh, God chose me. I want you to be encouraged and built up. This is what UCB last Saturday said about being adopted. It talks about God taking us on as a responsibility like we do when we adopt children. We take on the whole of them. And it says, and that's what God did for you, knowing full well the trouble you'd be. I love that. And what it would cost. He sought you, found you, paid the price for you, took you home, gave you his name and the right to call him Abba, which means daddy, a term of endearment. Adoption isn't something you have earned. It's a gift from God. So I hope that's making you feel just a little bit more encouraged this morning. A little bit straighter in your chairs. A little bit more, not puffed up, but chin up. I have a quick look at the rest of the first half of the verse. The royal priesthood. I want to come back to that later because I believe that's all tied up with our purpose and why we're here. A holy nation. Incredibly, Jesus Christ has made us holy by his blood. God sent his one and only Son. That when we believe in him, we might not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Saviour, and you don't know God, and you don't know that he loves you, I want you to just take that bit home. That God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, into the world to take your punishment, to take your sin, to make you clean so that you could go to heaven, so that you could be saved and live life, not just go to heaven, but live life now with God and know him. It's good news this morning if you don't know him. And then a people belonging to God. It was always God's desire to make us his. If you read any of the Old Testament, it says over and over again, God's heart, they will be my people and I will be their God. God wants us, always wanted to draw us to him. So I just wanted to go through those quite quickly. I want you to think about the chosen thing, and I want to look at the royal priesthood in more detail in a while. So I think from that, I'm kind of rattling through it a bit quick, but I think we've answered the first question, who are you? Now if I ask you the same question again, can you tell me who you are in God? Can you say, I'm chosen, I belong to God, I'm holy, I've been made clean, I belong to him. This identity is part of our inheritance in Jesus. We've not earned it. Psalm 105, verse 43 says, he brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. And they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and obey his laws. Praise the Lord. Wow, praise the Lord. That means we have fallen heir to what Jesus has toiled for. They fell heir to what others had toiled for. We are heirs of what Jesus has toiled for us in God. So why are you here? If it's not summed up by your CV, why are you here? Let me read the second half of the verse again. That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I believe today, whatever we do, whoever we are, we all have the same calling in God. We have the same purpose, from the very least of us to the very greatest, to the cleverest, to the not so clever. We all have the same purpose. Our purpose in this life is to declare the praises of God, because he has called us out of darkness and he's brought us into his wonderful light. And if darkness is living without God, we live in a world where people live without God. And they are stumbling around in a darkness that they don't even know is there. And they're trying to make decisions and they can't see clearly. They don't have the wisdom of God. They're just stumbling around in the darkness, trying to make a living, trying to get by, trying to just make life as good as they can, whether that's possessions or work or whatever it is. They are living in darkness, and we were once there in that same darkness. And God has come and he's called your name, just like he called Lazarus out of the tomb. He called your name and he called you out of that darkness into his wonderful light. And he says, I want you to declare the praises of that. I want you to declare the praises that I've called you out of darkness, that this is my purpose. This is what I'm giving you to do. I want people to come into that light too. I want them to live with me. I want them to know me. I want them to know wisdom and peace and healing. And you've got it. You've got it because I've called you out of there already and you live in my light. And now I want you to carry that light to the people around you because they're in darkness. So I want to look a bit more at the royal priesthood. Priests in the Old Testament, I believe, had three main roles. One was to minister to God. One was to bless the people. For instance, Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the other was to carry the presence or the name of God, as in the Ark of the Covenant. They were charged with carrying this box that carried the very presence of God. When it was with them, God was with them. When it was stolen away from them, God had left them. It was the very presence of God. And if we have been called out of darkness and into his wonderful light, he has put his fullness into us. He has put his name upon us. It says in the Bible over and over again, my name will be upon them and they will be mine. We are to make God known, to declare his praise. Whoever we're with, whatever we do, wherever we work, we are to carry that presence that God has entrusted us with. Somebody said this morning, we have treasure in jars of clay. That is it. We have treasure in jars of clay. God has put himself in us. He's put himself in us. I was listening to Louis Giglio a few weeks ago, and he was talking about carrying the name of God. And he said, we carry names all the time. We carry the names of companies who want us to carry their names so they don't go broke. We carry the name of Tommy Hilfiger or Nike or whoever it is. We carry names. We're like mules. But we're actually called to carry the name of Jesus, and that whatever we do, it almost doesn't matter. God's not so concerned with what you do, what you decide to do with your life. He's concerned with what you carry into that job or that thing that you want to do. And it just really struck me that God's given us that responsibility to carry his name. The people living out there in darkness are waiting to be called into the light. They don't know that. They don't understand that. But we're on the other side of that. We can look and say, wow, we've come into the light. It's amazing. And we need to carry that to other people. So I want to say your calling is not in your job title. And I think we struggle far too long and too hard about what we're going to do, where we should work. I want to say, don't sweat over it. You know, think about your gifts and what you love to do, and then just trust God to give you something to do with those things. And trust that whatever that is, that's not your calling. Your calling is to carry the name of Jesus into that job or title. There's a saying, and I think it's a quote. It says, and I really felt this was right to do this. It says, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. And I've put in capital letters here, and I can't really say it loudly enough, it is necessary to use words. You cannot preach the gospel and not use words. Jesus came onto this earth with all the fullness of God. In him, he carried the very presence of God, same as we do. And yet, he did not just live a good life and hope people cottoned on while he was dying on the cross that this was something that he was doing for them. He didn't. He preached the gospel with words. He communicated it to people in a way they could understand. He told them about the kingdom of God. He told them about God's love for them. He used words. Last week I was in my old church and my old pastor there was preaching, and she was talking about words. She said, God made the world with words. We need to use words when we come to God. We need to use words with each other. People aren't going to cotton on. I had this idea that, you know, maybe if I used a new shampoo, this is an example, and I thought it was wonderful. It was the best thing that I'd got out of Boots or whatever, and it made my hair all frizz-free and beautiful. You know, wouldn't I just naturally tell people? I might tell Ali. I might say, whoa, Ali, you want to get this shampoo? It's amazing. You know, I got it in Boots. This is its name. You know, I wouldn't just walk around like this. Are you getting it? You know, I get hoping that people would ask me what was the matter with me or what was different about my hair. And I think we do that with the gospel. We live our lives hoping, and it's good. I'm not saying don't live a good life, live a good life. But we live our lives hoping that people are just going to ask us. And they might not. What happens if I think that people should ask me, well, what's so different about my hair, and they don't? Maybe they go home and they think, I must ask Marilyn tomorrow what's so different about her hair. What if their tomorrow never comes? I'm not saying when you meet somebody, you've got to land them with the gospel straight away and say, this is it, I'm a Christian, let me tell you about God's love. Do you get it? You know, I'm not saying that, but come on, we need, I really believe God wants me to emphasise this, we need to use words to communicate the gospel. We cannot just do it by, is it osmosis, that word? People aren't just gonna. And why wouldn't we use words? When we're excited about something, when something's so wonderful, like a shampoo or washing powder or the sport or something, we naturally just use words with people. We get excited and we laugh and we smile and we say, oh, it's amazing. And it's wonderful. Do you want to use it? Do you want to try it? They might take it or leave it. But we naturally just overflow. And that's what I want God to do to us, for us today, in us today, to build us up so that we know who we are, and so that we overflow with the gospel for the people living in darkness around us. So that we, as we carry the name of Jesus, we need to mention the name of Jesus to people, even not just God, because God could be any God. Jesus is the name that has transformed our lives, and we need to be saying it. We need to be getting it out there, not to be in people's faces and shoving it down their throats, but they need to hear the name of Jesus. What if I said, oh, I found this wonderful shampoo? I won't tell you the name. What good is that to anybody? It wouldn't be any good to anybody. They need to hear the name of Jesus. They need to know that he loves them. They need to know that he came to die for them. I think God wants to rescue them. That's his heart. He's rescued us. He wants to rescue the people that we love and the people that we don't love and the people that we work with and the people that we live with. He wants to call them out of darkness. This is our calling. Your calling isn't that you're a postman or a caretaker or that's what you do, but your calling is to make God known, is to know him and to make him known and to carry his name to the people around you so that they can be called out of darkness too. To tell in our own unique way, each one of us, what God has done. Psalm 105, verse 1 to 2 says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. And Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. And later in verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. God wants us to tell of his wonderful acts. He wants us to use words to preach the gospel, to preach about his love for people. He wants us to not die in a corner, but live and proclaim what he has done for us. He wants us to testify to what all the wonderful things that he's done in our hearts so that other people can grasp it too. We have to use words because it's up to us. We have to use words because it's up to us. There isn't another army out there waiting in somewhere to come into England and evangelise for us and call people out of darkness on our behalf while we just pray. It's down to us. There's a song, it's a new song, Soul Survivor, a few weeks ago. And Do you ever do this the same? You think, yes, God. You hear a line of a song, you think, yes, God, that's it. It says, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. And I thought, yes, that's it. There's power in the name of Jesus. And then there's another little chorus. Oh, I'm really thirsty, so... another, I don't know if it's a chorus, George would tell me. And then there's the last bit of it says, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. And I thought, oh, it started off as yes, Lord. And then I thought, oh, Lord, that's us. It's me. It's not just, oh, somehow... God's name is going to break chains. It's not going to just be somehow. It's going to be through you and me taking up our calling to call people out of darkness into his wonderful light, to tell them that God loves them, to preach the gospel with our lives and with words, and to carry the name and the presence of God with us wherever we go, that we might see every chain broken over the people that we love and over the people that we don't love. So, if I ask you now, and I'm nearly finished, you'd be pleased to know, who are you and why are you here? I hope you could tell me. And I know that you could look at hundreds more verses in here and do a month's worth of looking at who we are in Christ and our calling in him. You can't just take one verse, I know that. But I do believe that this one verse goes a long, long way to answering these two questions. Who are you this morning? Who are you? And why are you here? I believe you are a chosen, redeemed, holy child of God. You belong to him. You belong to the living God. And your calling, whatever you've got to do tomorrow morning on Monday, your calling is to carry the name and the presence of God to the people around you and to bring glory to him. Now, I have one last thing I'd like to do. If you're up for it, I'd like us to make a declaration together. You don't have to, but if you would like to, I'd like you to stand and I'd like us to just read this together. Sadly, because of the power, we haven't got the TV, so you may not be able to see if you're standing. So I think you'd be better to sit down. Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. Stand up on the inside. All right? When you do that, I'm going to be standing up on the inside. I want us to do this because I think it's just a simple thing to do, and I don't think it's got any power in itself, except that it is based on God's word. And I want it to encourage us and build us up and to be lodged somewhere in our hearts and minds this morning. So, I don't think I've got it in front of me. 1, 2, 3.
God chose me before he made the world. I am not here by accident. I am a priest in the service of the Most High God, to minister to him, to bless others, and to carry his presence wherever I go. I have been made holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for me. I belong to the living God. I will declare his praises, his righteousness, his salvation, his peace, his healing, his grace, his strength, so that through me he may call others out of their darkness and into his wonderful light, for his glory. Amen.
So I want you to go out of here encouraged that this is who you are and this is what he's called you to do, and you can do it. God bless you. Amen.